actually like to thank him primarily as being the Baal Achsanya and person before the Achsanya, who should be using every single day almost for the purpose of Torah way, Achsanya Shel Torah. Now to introduce our revered speaker, who is synonymous with rekindling the flame of Yiddishkeit in the former Soviet Union. He has played an instrumental part in the renewal of religious Jewish life in Russia. Mashgiach Ruchani in Yeshivas Karlin, Stolin, Brooklyn, New York, and operates the organization of Yad Yisur. These heavy demands and responsibilities towards his yeshiva, and indeed his efforts in Russia, Rabbi Dishon still avails himself to the larger Jewish public across the globe. In fact, his life has been so busy he has never even had time to buy a house. As you will shortly hear, he is a powerful and inspiring speaker. His presentations are eloquent and his insights penetrating. And he recounts his story like no one else. We are greatly honored and delighted to welcome Harav Shmuel Dishon.
Shus l'rav shlita, Ronan v'rabona v'raboisai u'v'shus to l'akol ha'kodesh hazeh. There's a Ramban that for some reason is not so known. It is really in some chumashim at the conclusion of the first Sefer, the Reishis, and in some chumashim it is a hakdome to Sefer Shmuel. And the Ramban says as follows: Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYetzira, the book of creation, the entire Sefer. And Sefer Shmois, the entire Sefer, is called Sefer HaGeula, the book of redemption. There's a kashya on both. First of all, the story of creation is limited to absolutely the first part of the Sefer. Why does the Ramban call the entire Sefer Sefer HaYetzira? And the Ramban himself answers it. He says the Sefer does not only speak about the physical creation of the world, but the story of the creation of the people the world was created for. Sefer Bereishis tells us the story of creation of Klal Yisrael, and he tells us it is important and incumbent upon us to learn the Sefer deeply, because Ma'ase Avos Simel Labonim. A lot of things that happen to our Avos as individual, since each and every one of them was the total of Am Yisrael, the embodiment of Am Yisrael, each one of the Avos, so therefore whatever happened to them as individuals happened later on to Klal Yisrael as a Klal Yisrael. Now, Yishai HaNovi says, a pasuk, Koy Omar, so did Hashem say, Lebeis Yaakov, to the house of Yaakov, Asher Poda es Avraham, that redeemed Avraham. Before we look into the Mefarshim, it's a kasha on itself, because Yaakov Avinu was 13 years old when Avraham Avinu passed away. So when did Yaakov Avinu have a chance to redeem Avraham? Especially when Rashi tells us he redeemed him from Kibshon Aish. The Kibshon Aish took place much, much before Yaakov Avinu came to the world. It was the first Nisoyan of Avraham Avinu. So when did they have a chance to redeem Avraham? Rabban Kotler describes that in such beautiful terms and terminologies. He says when Avraham Avinu was thrown to the fire furnace, there was a debate in the heavenly court. A debate. Should we save Avraham? Because the only way to save him would be to perform a neis draloi, an outright neis. And the Hashgacha Elyona tries to refrain from that. Or maybe we should not save him, and his neshama should join the highest and highest place, Bashomayim, the place that reserved to all those that die in Kiddush Hashem. And Rav Baum says there was a shaila whether to save Avraham. And the psach of Bezin Shel Ma'alo was, yes, Avraham will be saved. Do you know why? Because from Avraham Avinu will come out a Yitzchak, and from Yitzchak will come out a Yaakov, and Yaakov will bring forth Shiftei Tor, the base Yaakov, and they will stand one day by Har Sinai, and they will say Naase V'Nishma, and the Tachlis Abriya of this world is Torah, which means Avraham Avinu was saved because from him will come out the Yaakov Avinu, and from Yaakov Avinu will come out the Shiftei Tor, and the Shiftei Tor will say Naase V'Nishma, without of which the world would have fallen apart. And therefore, if we remember, it wasn't too long ago, and we learned Parshas Yishavuah, Vayehera Vayivoyter Yoim HaShishi, and Rashi says Yoim HaShishi does not refer to the sixth day of creation, it refers to Yoim HaShishi, the sixth day in Sivan, because if Klal Yisrael would not have said Naase V'Nishma, the world would have vanished. Let's remember that. If we wouldn't have said Naase V'Nishma, the world would have not have a kiyum, an existence of one iota of time. So this is shot in the pasuk, Koy Omer Hashem Lebeis Yaakov Vasher Podes Avraham. In these coming weeks, we will learn a lot about Yaakov Avinu. And every aspect of his life is full of limudim for us. Full of limudim. Ma'as Ovesim Labonim. It is a mistake to think that Esav had no Bchira. We were taught in the Cheder that Esav came out, you know, with long hair, and he was a Russian before he was born. How can that be? And that's why there's a small Rashi in the beginning of the Sedra that says, Ve'eile told us Yitzchak ben Avraham. So Rashi says, Yarkoy ve'Esav ha'amurim ba'parsha. Both are in the parsha. And there's a beautiful thought that says, we never think about it, what would have been if Esav would be a tzaddik? What would have been then? So we have two schools of thought. One says that the Klal Yisrael would have been divided between Bnei Esav and Bnei Yaakov. Bnei Esav would have been the Ish Hasodah, the Zvulons, and the Bnei Yaakov would have been Yisachar, Yosheva, Olim. The Klal Yisrael would have been divided into two, Sit Shvatim and Sit Shvatim. And one scholar says that if Esau would have been Hetzadik, he would realize Be'emes that Yaakov Avinu has the Bechoyre, and he would submit himself to be led by Yaakov Avinu. Being that Esau was given this test of being Ish Hasodah, facing the nisyonis of the world, which each and every one of us knows about it, he was given greater strength than Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu was destined to be Ish Tom Yosheva Yaholim. Now, in the Sedra, it all goes very fast. Everything goes fast. At the Bar Mitzvah, that's when the ways of Yaakov and Esav separated. It was a difficult day. Avraham Avinu leaves this world. He left the world. Esau, with his great brilliancy, could not comprehend the fact that a great man like Avraham Avinu, his Zayde, would ever die. Couldn't comprehend it. And he uttered words of greatest tefillah. This holy great sage was smitten with a strong measure of justice. This world doesn't have a judge, nor is the justice of this world. And that brought him on that same day to fall completely out of the realm of Torah. And the Gemara tells us, Chomesh Aveiros Oda Oysa Rosho Be'Oysa Ayoyim. Five major Aveiros did Esav commit on that day. Yaakov Avin also lost a grandfather. also lost their grandfather and probably loved Abraham in a greater measure than Esav did. What did he do on that time? This is the order which quite, I assume, a lot of us ate that Seuda. It's called Seuda Savra'a. It's the first Seuda that an oven or mourner eats when he comes home from the Besoila. The essence of that Seuda, the components of that Seuda, is Nechama and strength. And while Esav Avinu, Esav committed five Aveiros, Yaakov Avinu took the Seuda. What was that Seuda that he took? By Yosef Yaakov knows it. It was the Seuda Avraham Havah for his father Yitzchak. He gave him Chizuk. We have to go on. Don't collapse. And therefore, on that day, Yaakov Avinu was Zoyche for the Bechoyre. And then, things go very fast in the Sedra. People think that Yaakov got the Brachos when he was a young kid. You know, his mother told him, "Go get the Brachos. I'll put you on the skin of the goats." He was 63 years old. 63 years old. And he got the Brachos. And my Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov, told me there's a pshat in the pasuk. He was so terrified when he walked in. He was so terrified. He said, "Ulayim usheini avi, halavayim usheini avi." I wish I had recalled. I can't fool my father. But he did. And he got the brachos. Can we pause for a minute? What does it mean? What is a bracha? Some of it, we all run to get brachos from tzaddikim. Did we ever pause to ask, what's a bracha? What is it? What is it? Webster does not explain it. What is a bracha? What's a bracha? A bit machloikis. In Metrobolim, the simple pshat of a bracha is strength. Koiches. The fight between Yaakov and Esav was who gets the koiches of Yitzchak Avinu and of Avraham Avinu. And Yaakov got it. And you know what happened? On that day, his mission in life changed. On that day, Yitzchak tells him, "Huh? You what? You got the brachas? Then you have to accept the mission of Esav. You cannot be anymore a Ishtom Yeshev Yehalem. Your destiny in life is changing today. You have to go out and face the world. And you have to go to Beis Lavan. Love on Arami, Shebike Shlachoy Vesachoy. Yaakov, you have to face him." Now, if I'm not mistaken, I said that thought in the convention of Adonis Yisrael here in Bournemouth. You remember there used to be a town called Bournemouth? Okay, now, Yaakov Avinu has a shlichus from his father to build Klal Yisrael. The whole world is waiting for it. And Yaakov is 63 years old. And Rashi is telling us a secret. The Torah doesn't tell it to us for some reason. He vanishes for 14 years. How much do we have to learn from it? At 63, Yaakov Avinu is afraid to face the world. Why did he go to base? Where did he go to? So Rashi tells us, to the yeshiva of Eivah, Shemel Eivah. Why didn't he go back to his father's yeshiva where he learned till now? So my Rebbe Rabbi Yaakov was Mechadesh and Nuchidush. I don't think I saw it in anyone else before him. There's a Torah called Toiras Hagolos. Toiras Hagolos. And you know what it is? The Israeli army has it. Oh no, I'm serious. And the Boy Scouts have it. You know what it is? A course of survival. You know the Israeli army gives the elite soldiers, those that have to drop beyond enemy line, because how do you survive in enemy territory? How do you learn to follow at night the road by stars? Which food can you eat from the ground? How do you survive? And you know that in order to learn the course, you have to learn it from a survivor. There were two great survivors. One was called Shane. You know what he survived. Do you know what it means living in the door? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachmo Barkol Ma'asov, the biggest Baal Rachmonis in the world, comes to a conclusion that the whole human race is going to vanish from the face of earth. Mabul. Our generation, if not for the Haftocha, of there wouldn't be a Mabul again, certainly would be able to fit in many, many aspects of the Mabul. But Lemaise, shame survived. As we would say today, in our day-to-day terminology, the only fruit family in that area. And Noach and his children survived. And Yaakov Avinu goes to him, to the Talmidim of Shem, and he says, teach me, I'm going to base Lavan. Shebit yeshlar choreth hakol. How do you think Lavan wanted to be oiker as hakol? Not by force. By offering Yaakov Avinu the worst of temptation, the worst of nisyonis. So Yaakov Avinu says, teach me. Then he went to Eved, who was still alive. He was a survivor of Doira HaFloga, a generation that rebelled against the Ribon Shelo, and he learned from him the secret of survival. And after being 14 years by Shem and Abel, Yaakov Avinu reaches the Madrega that the Gemara in Chulnis teaches us on the Cholin of Yaakov, V'hinei Malach Elokim Oilim V'yoredim Boi. I don't want to go through the whole Gemara. The Malachim Oilim, they went up and they looked at the Kisei HaKavod and they saw the Dmus of Yaakov Avinu. It was on the Kisei, on the holy throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a picture of Yaakov Avinu, because he is the epitome of mankind. And then they looked down at the earth and said, hey, this man was 77 years on this world already. And the pictures match, which was Yaakov Avinu at 77. There was not one scratch on his face. Was not one scratch on his neshama. It's humanly impossible. So you know what the Malachim wanted to do? They believed that man doesn't deserve to stay in this world. And they wanted to hurt him, so he should go to Olam HaEmes. And the Gemara says that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to save him, v'hinei Hashem nitzav olav, to save him from the destruction of the Malachi HaShores. And then he comes to Beis Lavan. And now we are coming to learn the reason that we are still around. Yaakov Avinu is already 77 years old. Knowing that the entire Briya is waiting for Shiftei Torah. And Lavan Arami greets him and he asks him, tell me, Yaakov, I don't want you to work for nothing. What do you want as reward for your work? I heard the Shmuz from Aglohen HaKodesh Obam Kotla. It's in the third Chaylik of Mishnah Sobam. If I ever saw him getting angry and punching his fist on the Shtender, there was a trend at the time among new educators in Toyom Soiro to supposedly humanize the others. They're human. And in the Parsha, in Vayetze, there's a whole story about Yaakov and Rochel. It says Vayehav, etc. And Rabban says, whoever tries to put the slightest human aspect to that parsha is destroying the Kisei HaKavod. But why? The Torah says like this: Vayehav Yaakov et Rochel b'Leah. Yaakov loved Rochel more than Leah, and he said, "Who gave the advice to wait now for 7 years, Yaakov?" If someone is madly in love with someone, he doesn't want to wait for 7 years. Can you imagine today a person would come to his future shver and tells him, you know what, I like your daughter, but I want to go now for 7 years to Brisk, to Steig. Will it happen?
No. And Yaakov Avinu tells Lavan Harasha, yes, I want to marry Rachel, and I love her. But I want to wait for 7 years. People had a choice. It wasn't Lavan's Eitzah, it was Yaakov's Eitzah. And Rabban says, why? And Rabban explains, it was for us. Yaakov Avinu knew, whatever choices he doesn't have, he will never be able to transmit to the Doros further. It's good to know for young people, what the father doesn't possess, he cannot give over and transmit to the next door. Now, Yaakov Avinu knew, in Hasmode, the Zohar liked him. He learned all his life. He learned 14 years by Shem and Aver, so much so that he never went to sleep. He really covered himself with the Hashpah of Shem and Aver. But he was never in Golos. He was never in Golos. And he saw Beruach HaNevuah Shaloi, that we will spend a great part of our lives in Golos. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to be in Golos first. A whole Shemitah. 7 years. He knew he'll survive. And he inoculated himself with an ability to bystand the Nisyonis of Golos and the worst Golos and Golos of Lavan Arami. And therefore, when those 7 years passed, he openly demands, now it's time to build the Klal Yisrael. The secret of our survival, Rabbeinu, have, as we all know, many term papers, many doctorates were written by researchers, Gentiles and Jewish alike. What is the koyach of survival of Klal Yisrael? How come we're still around? By all math calculation, we shouldn't have been around a long time ago. What we went through, the Derech HaTeva, and despite all our pain, despite all the difficulties that our generation is going through, and there are great, great, great difficulties. Yes, we have to do more to try to accommodate those boys and girls that find themselves on the verge. As much as we do, and things are being done today, we have to do more. But the great majority, we still have Baruch Hashem. You'll ask me how it works, I cannot answer you. But it's there. We have tens of thousands of young boys and young girls who are shomrei Torah and mitzvahs on the highest level. In the United States of you come, you see a community like Lakewood that Bli Ayin Hara keeps on growing and growing and growing and growing. You still have thousands of men and women who agree to live a life, I don't want to say the word of poverty, because there's a life of joy and happiness in those homes. But where materialistic accommodation are almost non-existent. And Baruch Hashem, we keep on growing. And one of the reasons is because Yaakov Avinu inoculated himself with the ability to bystand the Golos. And we'll soon see what was the message. And Baruch Hashem, Peleis Yishotach Mikbizari. I want to go one step further. When Yosef HaTzadik is born, and Yosef is the greatest power that can bystand the Nisyonis of Esav, Yaakov tells his wives, it's time to go home. On the way, he suddenly encounters someone that forgot about Yaakov Avinu for 20 years. Sar Shel Esav. Where was it in that? Why did the Sar Shel Esav wait 20 years to hold wage war against the Yaakov Avinu? Why didn't he start the world the minute Yaakov Avinu got the brachas? And the answer is simple. He was sure that Lov and Arami, the smivas like Yaakov Avinu. Even Esav couldn't buy said in his year. This, you know, do you remember? He's a yeshiva bacher. The Meir Shapiro once said in Moir Dikavot. Says in the Apostle, Smach Zvulam B'Zeisecho. You remember? V'Yisocha B'Olecho. Watch the pshat. You, Zvulam, be happy when you go out to face the world and there are money. A Yisocha should be happy in his tent when he sits and learns Torah. So the Meir Shapiro once said, Smach Zvulam B'Zeisecho. You know where you should be happy? Because Yisochar is Baalecha, because Yisochar sits and learns Torah. Because if Yisochar is going to compete with you in the business world, you are not going to be so happy. You'll suddenly discover that he has far beyond Koichas and strength that you never believe he does. And it is. So the Sacha Leisa Bushul, Yaakov Avinu, will be able to buy said in Nisyonis of Lovan, but he did. Now, it's either now or never. It's either now or never. It says, Vayivosa Yaakov Levadoi. Do you think Levadoi means alone? No. Levadoi does mean alone. Levadoi means that though he was 20 years in the house of Lavan, he's alone. There's not one iota of influence of based Lavan on him. That's what alone means. Clean. Pure. 20 years in the house of Lavan. But then the Sar Chalesov decided, now is the time. And that night was a war. We don't understand it. It was Milchama and Malach and Yaakov Avinu, the Sar Chalesov. All we know about that war is what the Gemara tells us. That the dust of their earth reached all the way to Kisakovet. What does it mean? The Sar Chalesov asked himself, where does Yaakov Avinu draw his choices? Where does he draw his strength? And he realized that any time Yaakov Avinu had a difficult moment, a difficult misoyon, he looked up, he says, I can't fail. You know why I can't fail? Because I'm the Yaakov of Kisei HaKovod. And if I fail, the Kisei HaKovod fails with me. I'm not allowed to fail. So you know what the Sar Chalesov did? He took dust and he threw it on the eyes of Yaakov Avinu. He should disconnect from the Kisei HaKovod. But Yaakov realized, alavai we would all realize it, that whatever the Sar Chalesov offers us is just dust and nothing else to it. One of the reasons why certain people fail, because we fail to recognize who we are. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, "Histakel b'shloisha dvorim ve'inat obor lidei aveiro." Da, me'ayin boso, ulan ato oilech, ve'lifnei mi'at osed litin dem l'cheshbon. And then the Mishnah repeats itself again. Me'ayin boso. The Mishnah never repeats itself. These three items, components, can be learned in two ways. Da. I remember my rabbis used to tell us, Da! Me'ayin boso, du veist va du beist? Do you know who you are? Du bist doch hazun fin Avraham Mitzvah ve'Yaakov. Du hast doch aneshom ha'kadoisho that comes from Tahasis Yaakovit. Look at yourself with the highest level of greatness. U'le'ana to'oilech? You know how high you can reach. When you look around throughout the world and you see young men that undertook great missions, and sometimes I knew them as young people and I looked at them now and I never believed they were able to reach where they reached. They overtook organizations, they overtook countries, they overtook cities and made the Mokram Kedusha out of it. You know why? Because they say, Me'ayin Basa. I'm not an individual. I'm coming with the Torah of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. U'le'ana to'oilech? There's no limit to how high I can get. There's no limit to the high I can reach. And then Nebuchadnezzar, Me'ayin Basa, the Vesrucha. There's two ways a Yid has to look at himself. And these two ways are, it's almost time to end, to finish. I'll tell you something. There is a sefer called Reishis Chochma. The sefer was written by a Talmud of the Ari HaKadosh. We all know it. That sefer describes in very, very uncomplimentary terminologies the Gehenna. Very, very uncomplimentary terminologies. And we were advising Yeshiva not to learn. It's not going to do you any good. Two Bochum did not listen to the Rebbe and they decided to learn it. One was a very, very serious Bochum. And one was, you all remember in Yeshiva, we had such friends. Leitzim. I don't want to describe what it is. We all remember our friends in Yeshiva, they were the Leitzim. All I remember about them, that they never got any place. So, that serious boy, since he learned Reishis Chochma, and the other Bochum keeps on telling him, what's up? Imamish, he couldn't rest. Gehenna. The Maise, he couldn't take it. He decided he'll go to the Rebbe and ask the Rebbe, what should he do? The Rebbe didn't tell him what says there is not Emes. He told him, just think of one thing, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Rachum v'chanun. And he understands you much better than you think. And he understands your failures. And he understands your pain. Shoyin, he came out, he was so calm. And he tells me, he's chavad, let's ask him, no, what's the issue, what happened? I don't know, I'm calm about it. He decided that let's he will go into the shiva, and he tells the shiva, I told you uncle, it's not like it says. You know what the shiva told him? It's much worse. You're right, it's not like it says, it's much worse. Depends who the individual is. But soif to soif, the majority of people are serious people. We have our chesoinis, we have our failures, but the maise, we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's the Racham V'Chan. And if we can learn a bit from Yaakov Avinu, and it says on the Parshas Yeshev that Yaakov Avinu loved his son Yosef. You know what he gave him? A matana? The Torah that he learned by Shem and Eva. That's what Rashi says. That's the matana. It was Yaakov Avinu saw beruach hakodesh that Yosef will face a lot of difficulties. So I'll conclude with one word. I heard it from Atisyahu. Said like this. Yaakov, we all know. I'm really afraid to say it, especially I know it was on a tape. There's a new mahalach today that when we learn the history of the Gedolim, Ki'ilu, no, they had no Yitzharas, and v'chula, v'chula, v'chula. It's not so. Lehefech, they grew because of their difficulties. They grew because of their challenges. Yosef HaTzadik had an historian, and we all know he almost collapsed. Almost collapsed. What saved him? The Musi Yaakov of Yisrael. And I remember in Yeshiva, in the Shiru, someone asked the Yeshiva of Yaakov, Chochma, if my Zayde would come to me by an Yisrael, I will also not do it. So you know what the Yeshiva asked him? Favostum tetata nisht. Why does the Zayde come? But you know what he answered him? You know when the Zayde comes? If you convinced Kadosh Baruch Hu that you gave it all you had. I did my best. What shall I do? I cannot do anymore. I fought till the last drop of blood. Yosef HaTzadik fought till the last drop of blood. And then Yaakov comes to him. For some reason, most of us don't know the second half of the story. There was a discussion between Yaakov and Yosef. That vision. And you know what he tells him? Yosef. Yes, I realize you have it now, a difficult moment. A very difficult moment. And you have two drachim ahead of you. A collapse. But you think it'll be a collapse. But just remember, one day it'll be a choshen and eifet.
There'll be a choish in an eifod. It'll be in 150 years from now. And there'll be in the choish in an eifod will be inscribed all the shvatim. But you will not be there. It's not that you are just going to fail an Isayan. You are going to remove your place in Jewish history. People think sometimes we fail. It's not a momentary failure. Yes, there's tshuva. But sometimes a person can remove himself from his place in Jewish history. Then, Bayonas Vayetzeh Achutza. We have to remember the Torah all the time. Whatever we'll do places us in Jewish history. And sometimes we can do small things. Each and every one of us can look back in his life and see that it's not just small things. One of the greatest mechanchos of our door, the one that built Beis Yaakov in New York, his name was Rebbeson Kaplan. She built Beis Yaakov in New York. Which today numbers tens of thousands. My Shvili was one of the first seven Talmidim that she started with. And she used to tell me once when I started to teach in Beis Yaakov, Groisse Menschen tun kleine Sachen. Great people do small things. Kleine Menschen tun Groisse Sachen. You can convince anybody to become a part of a great thing. Let's build a building. But to do small things, you have to be a great person. And a lot of small things become a lot of great things, because there's no small things. Because when we look back at our lives, and when we look back at the history of the Jewish people, it's small things that brought great results. Yes, we are living in difficult times. There's no shaila about it. But a professional, I don't know why he calls himself a professional, but that's what he calls himself. He's from, he's a Yid, but not from. He calls himself traditional. And one day, he calls me over to the side. I never forget, it was the middle of a conference, and he looks at me and says, "You know what, Rabbi? I just read the demands and the restrictions that you put on young people before and after marriage. Do you believe they keep it?" He looks me straight in my eyes. And I say, I was shocked at the question. I said, "You?" He says, "No way." I hear. I told him, "You know what? I really understand you." He says, "You do?" He says, "I don't agree with you." He says, "Let me tell you something. I told him, don't feel bad, it once happened to me in the middle of talking to the whole Agudah convention." So I feel for the Meiser. I told him like this. I don't know if you know, in the United States of America there was once a president, his name was Mr. Bush. And he started the war in Iraq. And there's a lot of debates today about the war. Some people say, if he would have sent more soldiers at the beginning, the results would have been different. And I told this professional, a human being can make mistakes, but God makes no mistakes. And if God sends us to war, and it's a difficult war, it gives us arm and ammunition to overcome it. He said, "Listen, if you mix in God, I'm out of it." But that is the sod. We have to believe in ourselves. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a mission, and sometimes it's mission impossible, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the choice to do it. But we have to believe in ourselves. So, Tzodok HaKadosh says, "Tishem shitzorich ha'odam la'amin b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kach tzorich la'amin b'atzmoi." And if you believe in yourself, you have the strength to overcome the nisyonos and fulfill the great mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each and every one of us.